a bit the listening capacity and recognize that the Lord is speaking to you. Can you see the person that is not here? No, they're not here. So that means that he's going to be speaking to you this morning. So please put your hands together as we invite our brother, Mr. Sloan.
Good morning, church. How are you? You're looking great. I think you need to turn to the person next to you and just say, you are looking good today. And if that's a bit awkward for you, just say, it's good to see you. I'm going to come a little bit closer. My goodness, it's so good to be with you guys in Kwinana. I was here yesterday. I went to the library. It was wonderful. I read a book. I saw the Dome Cafe. I almost bought a hot chocolate, but I thought, I'm watching my figure, so we held back. But I've come all the way from Brisbane, and like Pastor Stephen said, I have the privilege of serving the Lord with World Vision Australia. And for us, on behalf of World Vision, we just want to say how honored we are and excited for this partnership. And if you aren't aware of what's happening, a few weeks ago, some of our team came, and between C3 Fremantle and C3 Kwinana, your church chose to sponsor 38 children. Isn't that wonderful? Exactly right. And as a part of that, because of the way sponsorship works with us, that means that for every child sponsored, four others benefit. So from this here location and Fremantle, 190 children are directly impacted. Come on, who thinks that's awesome? Praise God. And I want to really honor Pastor Stephen and Pastor Nami, and because the truth is, it's out of the heart of leaders who choose to see the need and then bring it before your awesome congregation that change happens. So I do want to say again, thank you, thank you, thank you on behalf of those children. And towards the end of the service, we'll get a time to speak about that a bit more. And I actually have a video to show you from Cambodia, from the Rukakiri area program, where you can see hopefully some of your photos. But more than that, the awesome young people and families that you get to impact today. Who thinks that's awesome? Really good. I think I've said awesome 100 times, but it's awesome, so it'll be good. A little bit about myself. My name's Sloan, and I was originally born in Fiji. Do we have any Fijians here today? No? Okay, someone was going to clap. Thank you for almost clapping. But what I'd love to do is teach you how to say hello in Fijian, okay? Is that all right? Are you ready to learn some languages today? Well, just one language, okay? The way you say hello in Fijian is you say bula. Bula, okay? So on the count of three, I want you to give me a big bula back, okay? Now, there's a few ways you can do this. You can say bula really quickly, or you can say bula. All right, so there's options, okay? So I want you to consider what you're going to do. Don't get confused and then say another word, but we're talking bula here this morning, okay? Ready? On the count of three. One, two, three. Bula. Oh, my goodness. One more time. One, two, three. Excellent. So it's good to be with this Fijian church this morning. Such an honor to be with you. I'd also love to introduce you to my little family. First of all, there's a photo of my wife and I, which I think is going to go up shortly. Yes, that's me on the left, if you're wondering. And I know you look at that photo and you think my wife is a blessed woman. No? Okay, that's fine. But no, I'm truly blessed to do life with my wife, Kathleen. We've been married for a few years now. She can tell you the details, but it's truly the greatest honor and privilege of my life to love, honor her, cherish her, and to do life with her together. But today I want to show you a photo of my son. Is that okay? My son. Now, I need you to... Oh, that's my son right there. Okay, as you can see, he's still very young, still growing up. He's posing like this, okay? And I need you to know that not many people have seen that photo, so your family now. You're invited into the circle. Thank you very much. And with that, I would like to say I welcome any prayers for my wife and I. But more than that, we're just so grateful to God again for that precious gift. And we'll be welcoming him in August. If you have any name ideas, please come speak to me at the end. Specifically, if they're Fijian names, we welcome them as well. But I say all of that to say this. It's such an honor to be with you today. And I'm really excited to open the word of the Lord. And like Pastor Stephen said, I really have faith to believe that if we would listen to what the Spirit is saying and doing, we can be transformed from the inside out. Do you believe it? Yes. Wonderful. Well, would you turn with me in the Scriptures to Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 12 to 14. Philippians 3, verse 12 to 14. Oh, it's on the screens. How wonderful. It says this, Paul speaking, "Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect." Me too, thank the Lord. "But I press on." Can someone say press on? Press on. "To make it my own, because Christ Jesus, thank the Lord for this, has made me his own. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on. Can someone say press on this morning? Toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. If you believe it, can you say amen? Let's pray together. Dear Lord, I thank you that this is the day that you have made. And we have so much to rejoice and be glad in. But God, today we thank you for your presence that is here. It's already been moving, and we thank you, Lord, that it will continue to move, to break chains, to break yokes, to heal, to set free, to redeem, and to bring people closer to you. Lord, I thank you today that no one is here by accident, but they're here because of your divine will, plan, and purpose. So God, we open our hearts to your word, and we say, speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. We say, speak, Lord, that we might be changed from the inside out. And Lord, we thank you today that it's not by might and not by power, but it's by your spirit. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Do what only you can do in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen. I don't know if you have schoolies here. Does anyone know what schoolies is? Essentially, when you finish year 12, you have an opportunity to party, to celebrate the fact that you finished. Now, when I finished year 12, I wasn't sure if I'd passed or not, but I made a decision. I was going to celebrate anyway because I've made it 12 years, plus a few. You know, we won't talk about those years. I'd finished year 12 and it was time to party. And so I remember a lot of my friends, they were going to the Gold Coast in Brisbane, or they were going to Sunshine Coast up north. And I thought, nah, that's not enough for me. I need to party a bit more. No, I need to celebrate a bit more. So I spoke to my parents and I said, would you let me go to Fiji, where I was born, for 3 months? I know. What's more crazy is that they said yes. I know. I'm sure lots of prayer and supplication was involved in that decision. But I left Australia at the end of year 12 to spend 3 months in Fiji. And I will never forget those 3 months. They were the most wonderful 3 months, aside from meeting my wife and now everything that's happening now, of my life. And I remember what happened was I'd spent a few weeks, a few days actually, in the main island, Nandi, Suva, those kinds of areas. And then I flew to a small island where my dad is from called Savu Savu. Can everyone say Savu Savu? Man, you guys are Fijians. I'll tell you what, this is wonderful. I flew to Savu Savu, and so Savu Savu is called the hidden paradise, okay? Which means it's really hard to get to, but it's okay, it's opening up. But I remember going there, and from the first moment I got there, I saw awesome scenery. I saw plants, I saw flowers, which I wasn't too fussed about, but I just saw incredible things. And then one of the first days, my cousins came to me, and they said, will you go fishing with us? And I said, yeah, I'll go fishing, like, give me a rod. They're like, no, we do it a bit differently. And so what they gave me was some bicycle spokes that they'd sharpened one end and then kind of carved like a V into the other end, like a spear, essentially. And then they gave me a piece of rubber with tin or with wire on the end. And then what you'd do is you'd pull it back and shoot it at a fish, right? And then, you know, when I say fish, I'm talking about like this size, okay? If you're from the Department of Fisheries, please forgive me. I don't know what the rules were. Don't report me. But essentially, every day we'd go down and we'd dive in the shallows of the reef. And we'd catch these little fish, and it was so much fun. And then we'd fill like a little bag of them, and then we'd go to shore, we'd start a fire, and we'd cook them right there, and then we'd eat them right there. And for a young guy from Australia, that was paradise, man. I mean, are you telling me I get to swim and then get lunch at the same time? Like, I'm in, right? So I remember doing about a week or two of this and just thinking, God, thank you so much for bringing me to heaven. And then one day, my uncle came to me, and he said, today you're going to come fishing with me. And I said, awesome, I know the drill. So I went, got my little spoke. I went and got my, and he said, no, leave that behind. I was like, hey, what do you mean? And then he took me with him, and he gave me proper snorkels. He gave me flippers, and then he brought out a spear gun that was about the same height as me. I'm like, whoa, this is heavy duty. Do not point that at me, Uncle Vessi. And I remember we went to the beach where we normally would swim and dive, and I went to dive into the shallows, and he said, no, not today. And he began to call me out of the shallows and said, follow me into the deep. And so as we began to walk out on top of the reef, the waves started to get larger. And we got to the deep, right to the edge of the reef. And he said, this is where we're going to dive. He called me from the shallows into the deep so that I could do something that I hadn't done before. So that I could experience something I had never experienced before. And so that came that moment where I had to dive in. You know, when you close your eyes and you're like, ah! And I remember diving in and opening my eyes and seeing a world that I'd never seen before. Bright, colorful reefs, fish swimming here and there. I saw a turtle go past and I was like, whoa. I saw like a, I don't know if it's a manta ray or a stingray, all of these creatures and animals and colors under the sea. And I thought to myself, this is the same ocean that I've been swimming in for weeks, but I have never seen this. I thought to myself, what have I been missing out on playing in the shallows when this existed in the deep? And as I began the journey back with my uncle, we caught some bigger fish that day and other creatures, which I'm not allowed to talk about. But I remember going back with him and just being so grateful. Saying, thank you, Uncle Vessi, thank you for calling me out of the shallows, out of the comfortable, out of the known, into the deep. Thank you for beckoning me into the more that was possible, the more that existed beyond the reef. You know, as I began to think and pray about what to bring here today, but more than that, what to bring to the body of Christ at this time in history, in 2026, I couldn't help but be really stirred to encourage the church here, C3 Kwinana today, that God is calling every single one of us into the deep. Come on, somebody, that God is calling us to the deep, that he wants us to resist the comfort and beauty of the shallows and embrace the wonder that exists just beyond. Can I get an amen this morning? Friend, I want to encourage you today that he's calling us to a life of deeper trust. He's calling us to a life of deeper hope. He's calling us to a life filled with deeper joy and deeper peace. Friend, he's calling you and I deeper. C3, I want to encourage you today. God has more for you in 2026. He's calling you and I deeper. If you believe it, can I get an amen this morning? But here's the thing, I love it because whether you're new to this journey or whether you've been walking with Jesus for 75 years or maybe you haven't even started to walk with Jesus, the good news is this, there's so much more for every single one of us to experience. Friend, his ways are higher than ours. He is unsearchable in wisdom, majesty, truth, and goodness. And we haven't even begun to scratch the surface of all that God has for us. I wonder today, is anybody grateful for an almighty, all-wonderful God who calls us to the deep? Friend, today you need to know, however you find yourself in this place, he has more for you. But the question that we have to ask ourselves today is, are we willing? Are we willing to leave behind the shallows, the comfort, the way things have always been? And are we prepared to follow him into the deep? You see, Paul in our text for today perfectly describes the posture and mindset of someone who desires to move beyond the shallows and push toward the deep with God. He's someone who's done and seen so much, wrote so much of the New Testament, yet his desire is to keep straining forward towards all, can someone say all today, that Jesus had for him. You see, Paul knows that there will come a day, which he references later in the chapter, when all things will be made new, when Jesus will come and create a new heaven and a new earth, and he'll give us new glorious bodies, although I'm quite happy with mine. I'm kidding. I can't wait for that day. Amen, amen. But in our text for today, he's saying, I'm not just going to sit around and wait for that day. But he says, I'm going to do all I can in the here and now to grab a hold of heaven and everything that Jesus has won for me and bring it into the here and now. I love that Jesus encouraged us to pray, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in. What a powerful prayer. But who knows, he didn't just call us to pray it. He called us to go and possess it, to actually live in such a way where King Jesus is king. And to take a hold of everything and bring it into the now. But it means going deeper. Like Paul said, I'm going to forget what's behind. I'm going to forget the old. Why? Because there's more. And I want to push into the deep for that which he has taken a hold of me. I want to take a hold of it. And I wonder today, is there anyone here who wants to go deeper? I wonder this morning, is there anyone here who says, Lord, I'm done with the shallow. I'm done with the known. I want to experience more of what you've done for me. Hear me today. This isn't a heart of ingratitude. I don't know what the proper word is there. It's just acknowledging that God has more. That we're thankful for what's been. But we dare to believe that there is a God who is beckoning us deeper. C3 Kwinana, if you believe it this morning, can you say amen? Wonderful. But here's the tension. It's easy to say amen to going deeper. Yeah, let's do it. God's calling me. Why wouldn't I say yes? What else would my response be? But the tension is this. What does it actually mean to go deeper? It's easy to declare it. It's easy to say it. But what does it actually mean for the way we live and how we're doing life right now? What do we need to do practically to go deeper? And you know, today, I just want to give you, first of all, two things that it doesn't mean. Okay, I think it's helpful to kind of paint a picture. And the first thing is this, going deeper, I need you to catch this morning, doesn't mean simply gaining more knowledge. It doesn't mean simply gaining more knowledge. You know, for me, the Pharisees serve as a cautionary tale of how this kind of thinking can lead us astray. The Pharisees in Jesus' time were society's recognized experts on God's law. The Pharisees were known as the most skilled interpreters of Jewish law. Friends, they didn't just read the Bible, they were the Bible teachers. Not only that, but they studied not just the scriptures, but generations of interpretation. And I love it. They didn't just know the text, but they knew the footnotes, the commentaries, and the maps. That's who these people were. Knowledgeable, wonderful, wonderfully educated people. But yet Jesus tells them plainly, like only he can, that all this knowledge wouldn't get them to God. John 5, verse 39 to 40, Jesus says, "You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me." Can someone say snap? Snap. He says this, "Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life." You say, what's Jesus saying? He's saying, hey, you know the book, but you've missed the author. He says, you've learned all the head knowledge, but now the word has become flesh and stands before you, and you've missed me. You see, the Pharisees were amongst the most biblically literate, trained, and morally serious individuals. Yet when Jesus showed up, they missed him altogether. Can I encourage you today? There's nothing wrong with getting knowledge. But if it doesn't deepen our relationship with the person of Jesus Christ, it's just puffing us up, giving the illusion of depth, but leaving us shallow. Friend, greater knowledge doesn't mean greater depth. Number two, everyone say two. Can you hit that note with me? Two. Pastor Stephen, you've got a choir here. This next week, we're doing a choir. Number two, going deeper with God doesn't mean doing more. It doesn't mean gaining more Christian brownie points or currying favor through better behavior. And Paul, the apostle, the writer of our text today, speaks about how he once lived that very life, trying to earn God's favor, trying to attain all of the goals and all of the accolades that he could. Look with me again at Philippians 3. I'm going to read verse 4 to 11. Paul saying, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. He says, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. He's bold. He's confident. He says, I've got more reason to stand in my own good deeds. He said, circumcised on the eighth day. Bless you, Paul. Of the people of Israel, of the prior tribe of Benjamin. He says, I'm from the right tribe. I know all the right things. He says, I'm a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law of Pharisees, I know all there is to know. As to zeal, man, I'm passionate. I persecuted the church. He says, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. He says, I'm the man. But then he switches and he says, but whatever gain I had, I count it as a loss. For the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything. Someone say everything this morning. Everything. As loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. You see, Paul hits the nail on the head here. What does it mean to go deeper? He says all of those things, all of the doing, all of the knowledge, all of that stuff, it means nothing in comparison to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Friend, I want to encourage you today. Going deeper with God is the language of relationship. It's not about delving deeper into a concept. It's about going deeper in a relationship. Come on, somebody who thinks that's good news. Depth is not about intensity or information. It's about intimacy, trust, presence, and time. The challenge is, though, that we live in a culture that is very good at creating connections, but struggles to create depth. Our lives are fast. Our attention is fragmented. Our communities are mobile and unstable. We're constantly performing and presenting a face rather than being known. And when God says, I want to call you into a deeper relationship with me, oftentimes we can feel a little bit out of our depth, so to speak, because our culture doesn't value deeper connections. Richard Foster, in his book, A Celebration of Discipline, says it like this. In contemporary society, our adversary majors in three things: noise, hurry, and crowds. If he can keep us engaged in muchness and manyness, he will rest satisfied. So when God invites us deeper in relationship with him, because our culture and society is just unversed in what that means, it can feel unfamiliar, uncomfortable, or even inaccessible. But I want to encourage us today that the way we step into all that God has for us is by drawing into a deeper relationship with him. The way that we leave the past behind is by knowing that there's a God who is beckoning us on to the more. I want to encourage you today that God is calling you not to a deeper knowledge or understanding primarily, but he wants a deeper relationship with you. Turn to the person next to you and say, he's talking to you. And talk to the person on the other side, the second option for whatever reason, and just say, he's talking to you. So here's the challenge in that culture, in the context of the world that we live in today. How do we build a deeper relationship, first and foremost with God, but also with one another? Number one, everyone say, one. You are so good. We need to learn to give the gift of attention. We need to learn to give the gift of attention. Studies have shown that those who are good at building deep relationships, at actually seeing one another, are those who are really good at giving the gift of full, reverent attention. Isn't that so true? I began to think about some of my really good long-term friends. I mean, like those who, we go deep, right? And what has made them my friends is the fact that they have always chosen to give me their attention rather than looking for another option. My friends are not the ones who kind of, you're talking to them and they're looking over your shoulder. Oh yeah, that's good, Sloan. Tony, what are you up to tonight? I'm like, bro, I'm right here. Not my friend. Why? Because attention lets someone know that you're actually serious about this thing, that you're wanting to grow deeper, that you're wanting to know them, not know what they can do for you, but know who they are, what their values are, what they love, what they want to do. The challenge is that we live in a world where our attention is a commodity. Every scroll, every pause, every like is monetized. There are industries that specialize in grabbing and holding our attention. That tells me this, that we need to get really good at taking back our attention and putting it where it needs to be. Because this is what I love. Psalm 8, the psalmist says, God, I've seen the works of your hand, the heavens, the wonders, the majesty. And I think to myself, but who am I that you are mindful of me? What's the psalmist saying? He's saying, God, you've done all these great things, but yet you lean to know me, to meet me. You give me your attention. Who thinks that's amazing? That the creator of the heavens and the earth knows every hair on your head. For me, there's not many, but that's okay. I'm still grateful that the creator of the heavens and the earth knows you intimately. Why? Because he gives you his attention. And I want to encourage us today, in response, we must learn to steal away time and to create moments where we give him our full attention. Can I just give you one practical thing? You know, for me, you know what I did? Is I set an alarm for midday every day, and the alarm goes off and it just says attention. And I look at it and I go, attention? No, no. I look at it and I say, oh, Lord, hi. And I remember early on, I'd think, oh God, what do you want me to do? And then I thought, wait, hold on a minute. I'm giving my God attention for a task. I'm giving him my attention so that he can tell me to do this or do that. But surely the power of this moment is in just wanting to be with him. And so I had to learn is it can be so easy for us to think that doing things for God is the same as being with God. But there's a big difference. Think about Luke 10, the story of Mary and Martha. They do a great thing. They invite Jesus into their home. Right? Who thinks that's a good idea? Yeah. But when Jesus arrives, they take two very different paths. One says, I know he likes spring rolls. Let me get the spring rolls ready. That's a joke. I don't know if he likes spring rolls, but he probably would. She goes about doing things for Jesus. And then what does Mary do? She sits at his feet. And Martha says, that's a bit rude. Can't you see me working here? And Jesus said, no. You can get so obsessed with the many things, but Mary has chosen the one thing. Can I encourage us today? What would happen if we didn't just set alarms to wake us up in the morning? Or we didn't just have notifications for when our boss messages us on Teams at 10 p.m. at night? But if we set alarms just to remind us to give God our attention, I'll tell you what would happen. It would cause us to grow deeper in a relationship with him. But here's the thing, I want to encourage you. This doesn't mean you're going to have a life of 1,000 alarms forever. These are triggers that will become part of our daily walk and lifestyle with God. Well, I don't need an alarm anymore, but I'm aware every moment that God is a God who doesn't stand at a distance and instruct, but he comes close and he accompanies us. Today, can I encourage you? How do we grow deeper in relationship with Jesus? Number one, we give him the gift of our attention. Number two, can everyone say two? Yeah, I didn't want to take you up there high again. Two. Number two, the second is this. Studies have found that those who excel at building deep relationships don't simply try to fix or manage others, but they choose to walk with them. They give the gift of accompaniment. You know, I've seen this firsthand in my life. I remember many years ago going through an incredibly difficult time. A few friends of mine, youth leaders in our youth ministry at the time, we went to Sydney for a men's camp, a men's conference. We had the best time. I mean, it was so good. God did amazing things. Anyways, we finished the last night. We all went to bed. The next morning, we woke up to go to church on a Sunday. And one of my close friends didn't wake up from his sleep. And it was traumatic. My dad was trying to wake him up. Like, there was just lots of things happening. It was very confronting and very, very real. And I remember in that moment just thinking, what are we going to do? We have to get back to Brisbane. We have to, chaos reigned. It was just everything. I remember flying home and trying to prepare and think things through. And I got a call from a friend in Sydney. And I'm like, hey, bro, what's happening? He's like, man, I love you. I said, thank you for that. Why are you calling? He said, I want to let you know that I'm taking the week off and I'm flying up to Brisbane and I'm just going to hang out and be there for you guys. I remember thinking, what? And he came and he slept on our couch. Every second night he cooked us dinner. He bought us Maccas. Thank you. And you know what? He didn't have all the answers. He didn't have all the right things to say. But he accompanied us in a dark time and it changed everything. You know what? It reminded me that that's what our God is like. He's a God who accompanies us in our grief. The God who walks with us in our darkest valley. What does the psalmist say? He says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For I know that you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of. Why can we go through these seasons? Because we have a God who is present. Emmanuel, the God who walks with us in struggle and pain. The God who came and feels rejection. He felt betrayal on the cross. And I want to encourage you today. How do we grow deeper in relationship with Him? It starts by recognizing that He is with us. And it starts by saying, thank you, Lord, that you are here in my valley. That you are here in this pit. And I'm not going to stop, but I'm going to keep walking on because you are with me. Can someone say, thank you, Jesus? Come on, because He is with us. Can someone say, thank you, Lord, that you're not a God who leaves us in our trouble or our mess, but you come close in the midst of it all. Thank God for a God who gives us the gift of accompaniment, but who knows that it's not a one-way street. We now have the opportunity and privilege to say, God, I thank you that you're with me here. But now I ask, would you lead me onto where you want me to go? And we don't just say, God, thank you for being with me here in the pit. But we say, God, would you lead me on to all that you have for me? And that's what discipleship is. What did Jesus say to his first disciples? Did he say, okay, you guys want to follow me? Okay, every Tuesday and Thursday, meet me at the temple. And if you're keen, come Friday morning, let's do it. No, he said, come follow me. He said, do life with me. And what happened? They went to parties, they turned water to wine. Ooh. They went here, they healed lepers. They went there, they opened blind eyes. Why? Because they let Jesus lead and they accompanied him on the journey ahead. And this is where I want to bring things together to a close. Because what I've discovered is that when we choose to accompany him and follow him, He will take us to the places and people that He needs us to meet, to be with, to bring strength, healing, and hope that comes from Him. And that's what's so special about today. Today is Reveal Sunday. But you know what I love about it is that this community, Kwinana and Fremantle, you've made a decision to follow Jesus to a community called Rakakiri in Cambodia. And you've made a decision not just to send money, but to partner in transformation. You've made a decision to partner with World Vision and with your community to actually extend life and hope, to build latrines and to change literally the landscape of that place to bring hope. And I want to encourage you is that when you do that, you're accompanying Jesus himself. In Matthew 25, what does Jesus say? He says, you know, at the end, I'm going to separate goats and sheep. And I'm going to say to the sheep, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. And they're going to say, when did we do that? And Jesus will reply, when you made a decision to go to Rakakiri, when you chose to see the poor in your community, to do feeding programs, which I understand you do right now. I want to say thank you so much for making a decision to follow Jesus, to bring about change and transformation, for following him into the deep today. And I want to encourage you, not only will Rakakiri be changed, but we will be changed as we partner with Jesus to bring gospel transformation. Now, do you want to see the community? You want to see a video of the choosing party, which is the most fun thing ever. I want to invite you to look at the screens and see what you get to be a part of today.
Called by God as His beloved children. And here at Rakakiri Area Development Program, children have chosen you as their sponsors. Thank you. please continue to pray for the most vulnerable children and family here. Thank you for your love and support. May God richly bless you.
ខ្ញុំឈ្មោះសុផាខ្ញុំជ្រើសយកគ្រួសាររបស់ឃ្លៀប្រុសគ្រួសាររបស់ឃ្លៀចិត្តល្អជម្រាបសួរខ្ញុំឈ្មោះកកណាខ្ញុំជ្រើសយករូបថតរបស់អ្នកជម្រាបសួរអ្នកខ្ញុំស្អាតជម្រាបលីបន្តអូនសប្បាយចិត្តណាស់ដែលបានត្រូវរូបថតខារ៉ូលីន
Amazing. Thank you, C3 Church. Come on, give yourself a round of applause. You know, if I could, I would, well, I don't think we have the time. I'd like to say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, 190 times. Because those are the lives that you directly will impact through your generosity. Thank you for looking beyond your needs and your neighborhood and making a decision as a community to bring change and transformation to those beautiful people's lives. And it's not because we pity them or anything like that, but because we know that they are children of God, just like us. Because we know that if we were in their position, we'd love someone to come alongside us, not give us handouts, but give us a hand up, a hand of empowerment to see us step into a new future. That's what your generosity has done. And I want to encourage you, if you are someone who sponsored a child, to meet me out in the foyer, and we're going to open up those envelopes that have not only the pictures of the young person who chose you, but also stories, just like you saw there, of why they chose you. And some of them are quite moving and incredible. But more than that, I want to encourage you. Maybe you didn't have the financial means to support this time. And I encourage you, prayer is powerful. And as a community, what would happen if we made a decision, no, we're actually going to accompany them with our prayer. We're going to hold that community up, and we're going to ask God to do miracles, signs, and wonders in that area. Can I encourage you? This is not just something that a few of us are doing, but it's a community. C3, Fremantle, and Kwinana saying, we see you, Rakakiri. We love you, and we're praying for you for the love of God to invade that area. Who thinks that's awesome? Amazing. Give yourself a round of applause again. Beautiful. I wonder, before we bring this to a close, if I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. I just want to ask today, everything we've heard about going deeper with Jesus, what's one or two things that you can walk out of this place today and do to grow deeper with Him? What can you do to give God more of your attention, not just this week, but this afternoon? What can you do today to just choose to acknowledge and thank Him for His accompanying presence? Maybe you're here today and you're walking through a deep valley. I want to encourage you, He's the God who never leaves you or forsakes you. Maybe you're here today and you're someone, you feel like you're on top of the mountain, but it's a little bit lonely. Can I encourage you? He is with you even there. Today, what can we do to leave this place different to how we walked in? To say, Jesus, I want to follow you into the deep, not through gaining more knowledge or doing more stuff, but by drawing closer into a deeper relationship with you. Jesus, I thank you today that you're calling us deeper, that you've got so much more in store for every single one of us. And God, in our hearts today, we say yes. We say we want to know you more. Would you lead us and guide us? Before we finish, I have one more group of people that I'd love to pray for today. You're here and you say, man, going deeper with Jesus, I haven't even started that journey. I've never made a decision to actually follow Him, to give Him control, to surrender my life to Him. Well, today I want to pray a prayer with you that starts that journey of growing deeper. That starts that journey of pursuing Him and all that He has for you. That starts that journey by recognizing that what He did on the cross through His life, death, and resurrection was to bring you intimacy with the Father, was to bring you into relationship with Him. So if you're here today and you say, I've never made that decision to go deeper, but I want to make that decision today. On the count of three, I want to invite you to lift your hands long enough and high enough so that I can see you and acknowledge you. But maybe you're here today and you know what? You say, man, going deeper, I was once following Him. I was once pursuing Him, but the truth is I'm a far way off. Can I encourage you today? I'd love to pray a prayer with you as well. A prayer of recommitment, a prayer of rededication to say, I'm back on the journey of following Jesus. If you're in one of those two groups today and you'd like me to pray with you, I'm going to invite you to lift your hands on the count of three. One, today's the day. Two, no one's here by accident. Three, if that's you, would you lift your hand this morning? Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. Dear Lord, I thank you for this wonderful group of people. I thank you that they're called by you to do a very specific mission and purpose in their world and in the world at large. And so God, today I ask that you'd bless them, that you'd keep them, God, that you'd stir within them, God, a fire and a passion for you. God, I thank you for those who want to start a journey or relationship with you today. God, would you bring people into their world who would encourage them, inspire them, and stir them on as they pursue you. And Jesus, I do pray today for that community in Rakakiri that C3, Fremantle, and Kwinana are partnering with. God, we ask for a turnaround that is supernatural. God, beyond financial aid, God, may they see and feel the presence of the Lord in that area because there are people who are praying for them. And Lord God, I do thank you for this body of believers. Help them to know you in a deeper and personal way. And God, we ask that the city of Perth, Kwinana and Fremantle would be different because these people are here, filled with your Spirit to do your mission. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. Wonderful. Bless you, church. I'm going to hand back to Pastor Stephen.